ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And the first one we're going to look at is really famines. And I don't know if you heard about this locust plague in Africa and in other parts of the world. It's the worst outbreak in Ethiopia in 25 years. They use the term plague of biblical proportions. They always use, you know, biblical stuff when bad things happen. But yeah. And think about that. How would you like to be out in that field? And they're destroying crops. The Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN is calling the situation in the Horn of Africa extremely alarming and estimates that a swarm covering 1 square mile can eat as much food in a day as 35,000 humans. 1 square mile in a day, as much as 35,000 humans eat. And again, you could see the devastation. The big swarms are the red areas. Devastating. It's putting 5 million people at risk of starvation. And then throw on top of that the COVID-19. What a mess. The danger of all this for people. You know, we go to the grocery store and we have so much food. Our biggest problem over the last several months was toilet paper. We resolved that problem. But think about these people. We're talking about eating and starving to death. And what is the result of all these locusts eating all their crops? It's starvation. In the United States, maybe you haven't heard of this, but there is a mega drought going on. It's affecting the Southwest. Much of the Southwest portion of the United States has been gripping by a drought that never seems to end. And there's a tremendous amount of concern that patterns that we witnessed back during the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s may be starting to repeat. I mean, that's a pretty awesome picture when you think about it. Look at the size of that. I mean, I lived in Arizona for a while, and we had dust storms. That's what it looked like. Coming through the valley, you couldn't see anything. An estimated 53 million people are living in drought-affected areas. Colorado is one of the states that is being hit the hardest. More than 93% of the entire state is experiencing various serious drought conditions. What happens? You end up with lower food production, less food going to market, less beef, right? Because you don't have food to feed them either. Leads to fires. So yeah, very bad. I don't know if you heard, but there's kind of a pandemic going around, right? There's all kinds of stuff out there. Some of it is pretty serious. And what this coronavirus thing has done is it's destroyed economies of countries, and it's destroyed food production as well. I mean, 135 million people in 2019 were suffering food shortages. Now it's 270 million. That's incredible. We look at pestilence, right? And, you know, wherever you stand on the COVID, real, fake, whatever, it's being used to destroy economies so we can come up with a new monetary system. And what's the solution to the pandemic? Well, the Pope said it. The United Nations said it. World leaders have said it. Global governance is the solution. We have to have a one world government to solve the pandemic problem, which if people would think about it, that's really dumb. That makes no sense. What does a world government have to do with this? But they will use anything to promote their cause, and we have to know that. You know, think about the Ebola. You know, it kind of comes and goes, but it's got a 90% mortality rate. the Marburg virus, very similar to Marburg, 88% of the people it infects, it kills. So there's some difficult pestilence out there that is nasty. And so, you know, think about these, all these places that are working with these diseases. And if they got out, wow. Pestilence is a sign of the last days. During the tribulation period, it's going to be a big sign. So we see that. But also something else that I find interesting is earthquakes. And there's been an increase in the number of earthquakes recently. All over the United States, we've seen an increase, and all over the world. In August 9th, 2020, a 5.1 magnitude earthquake hit Charlotte. That's pretty big. They don't experience them that often. The strongest quake since 1916. July 27th, 7.8 earthquake in Alaska. May 15th, a magnitude 6.5 earthquake forced the governor of Nevada to declare a state of emergency. It was the largest earthquake to hit the state since 1954. Idaho, March 31st. Again, its most powerful earthquake that Idaho had since 1983. And they had 1,000 aftershocks. March 18th, a magnitude 5.7 earthquake shook Salt Lake City, and it knocked the trumpet out of the hand of the angel Moroni. God is so funny, isn't he? Sorry, but that is, I just think that's hilarious. And Croatia just had two earthquakes. I can't remember the magnitude of them, but they had one on one day that was less, and then the next day it was even stronger. They had another one. So these things are happening. You look at the Ring of Fire. You look at what's going on around the Ring of Fire with volcanoes. Those are increasing. Do you know where the biggest volcano in the world is located? And it's not Krakatoa east of Java. And I just said that because I like saying Krakatoa east of Java. I think that's kind of a neat thing. But that's just me. But do you know where the largest earthquake in the world is? Yeah, it's in Wyoming. Most people don't even know that. You guys are highly educated. But look at the size of that thing. It's huge. The Yellowstone caldera measures 35 by 45 miles. Miles. We're not talking about seeing the crater, Mount St. Helens. That is like a pimple compared to this one. It's huge. And the supervolcano beneath Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming has been rising at a record rate since 2004. And if it exploded, it would have a force four times more powerful, or a thousand times, excuse me, more powerful than Mount St. Helens when it erupted in 1980. And some say it'd be 2,500 times more powerful than the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And I mean, look at that crater. It's huge. And we can see these magma and all that underneath. If it blew, there would be a cloud of plant-killing ash that would fan out and dump a layer 10 feet deep 1,000 miles away. It's just an incredible. Two-thirds of the U.S. could become uninhabitable as toxic air sweeps through it. It would be a mess. Again, they said it's been rising since 2004. It's gone up 3 inches per year for the last 3 years alone, fastest record rate since 1923 when they were measuring it. And our best evidence, said one of the professors, is that the crustal magma chamber is filling with molten rock. So it sounds like it's getting ready to explode. When is it going to happen? Well, we don't know. There's only guesses on that. We're seeing things begin to shake up. Kind of like the song goes, you know, I feel the earth move under my feet, if I can get this going. Uh-oh. There we go. There are days I feel like that, right? And this is happening in various places, or all over the place, all over the world. And it's a prelude. This is the Braxton Hicks contractions. This is preparing for the tribulation period that's coming. Now, again, we look at all this stuff, And it's overwhelming. I mean, we just skimmed the surface. Believe me, there is so much out there. But what should we as Christians do? And in knowing all that, this is probably the most important thing. You know, Paul said that, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring forth with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, we should be so, so excited about the Lord's return. And yet so many Christians are fearful and angry and mad and upset. But the Lord's coming back. And think about it. Just piecing this, digging this verse apart. Who's coming back? The Lord himself, Jesus Christ. Where is he coming from? He's coming from heaven. How will he announce his coming for his bride? He's going to announce his coming for his bride, the church, with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And what's going to happen? Well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And how long are we going to be with the Lord? We shall always be with the Lord. Hey, amen to that. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. This is important. Why? Because as we look at what's coming upon this world, the wrath of God being poured out, we lose all hope if we had to go through this period of time. I'm not saying we as Christians aren't persecuted. We are. We're not being persecuted by God. This is persecution from the devil and his demonic forces that are using the people of this world as puppets. But the tribulation period is the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. And the dead in Christ, Paul said, are going to rise first. And as they're being caught up, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. This is not a second coming where the Lord comes back to the earth. We meet him in the air, and we're going to be caught up, harpazo, to take by force or seize. And we're going to meet. And that's a technical term to describe official welcoming of honored guests. We're honored guests. We're coming to the Lord, the bride. And I realize there are people who say, you know, nothing of the rapture of the church was spoken of until Darby spoke of it in the 1800s. But there are ancient manuscripts from 373 AD that speak of it. And there are others. You know, you can look at my notes and check it out. But there are others, early church fathers, who spoke of this. Here's the thing. Could they be wrong? Yeah, the early church fathers could be wrong. But Paul talked about it. And I don't think Paul was wrong. In fact, Jesus said in Revelation 3:10 to the church in Philadelphia, he said, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, this wasn't just for the church in Philadelphia. Yeah, Paul, Jesus' letter was to these specific churches, but it was also to individuals, and it was to periods of time. What are the last churches of the last day? Church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church? Church of Philadelphia, the faithful church? Isn't that what we see today? Absolutely. And it's important. Jesus said, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which is going to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The word from in the Greek is ek, E-K, out of. Jesus, or this trial is coming upon the earth dwellers, not Christians. Why? Our citizenship is in heaven. And it's the hour of trial. And I think it's that last 7-year period of time we know as the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. And it's for the earth dwellers, unbelievers, not the bride of Christ. I always tell people, you know, why would Jesus beat us up before he takes us home and marries us? That would make no sense. No, he takes us out of this world before he pours out his wrath. Well, when does his wrath start? Who opens the first seal? Remember, John's in heaven. He's weeping convulsively because no one is able to take the scroll out of the right hand of the Father and loose its seals. And what did one of the elders say? Hey, look, the Lamb can take the scroll and loose its seals. And Jesus comes forward. And the first seal that's opened up is the Antichrist. Some say, well, that's not the wrath of God. It absolutely is. That is God's judgment upon this earth, unveiling the Antichrist to pour out his wrath upon the people of this world. God's using the Antichrist, just like he used Nebuchadnezzar to pour out his judgment against the southern kingdom of Judah. That was God's wrath upon his people. And we're kept out of this period of time because God doesn't appoint us to wrath. And that tells me we need to live out our faith like we have been doing, honoring God by the things that we do and say. And it is difficult. You know, I don't watch the news anymore, really. I watch the local news, but I don't watch the national news anymore because I don't think they're reporting the news. They're just telling me their propaganda. And I get upset. And I don't want to get upset. I'd rather just read the Bible and let God guide me. It gives me a better day. And if you're living for Jesus, understand the world will not understand it. The world doesn't understand us. Peter said, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Yeah, they think it's very strange. The Amplified Bible says it like this. They are astonished and think it very queer that you do not now run hand in hand with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they abuse you. We shouldn't think it's strange that the world doesn't like us. They put us down. Well, what do we do about it? We love them. And we let our light shine. That is probably the hardest thing for us to do. And we can't do it on our own. That's where we have to ask God, by your Spirit, help me to love these people like you do, Lord. Because it's very difficult. Titus wrote in Titus 2, verses 11 through 15. Whoop, went too far. Did I? Oh my gosh, where am I going? I don't even know where I'm at. There we go. No, there we go. I knew I'd get there. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. What does grace teach us? How to live, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And people are going to watch our lives. How are we living out our faith? What are they seeing in us? And what are we to be looking for? The Antichrist? Earthquakes, volcanoes, this, that, and the other? No. We are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Are we, Lord, I know you're coming back, but Lord, I want to be used by you because I want to see people saved. I don't want to be selfish. You know, think about it. If the Lord came back, say, in 1976, I wouldn't have been saved. So I pray, Lord, I don't want to be selfish. I know things may get really tough, but I want to see people saved. And I know there's that last one, and when that last one comes, you're calling us home. So I want to be open, Lord. I want to love people. And Jesus is going to deliver us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. I like that comfort, that hope. Paul told the Thessalonians that to comfort one another with these words. That's what we should be doing. That's our hope. If you say, well, you know, if you hope in the rapture and it doesn't happen, you're not going to be ready for the tribulation period. I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. Whatever happens, I'm not going to lose hope. But I know what Paul said. Paul was looking for the rapture. Said when, and we who are alive and remain, Paul expected the rapture to happen in his day. You know what? We're almost 2,000 years closer. The Lord's coming back, and I look at the signs and go, man, how much longer? You know, you see artificial intelligence growing so rapidly. You go, how much longer can this be? It's getting there. Having a correct perspective. You know, Peter put it like this. He said, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens are going to be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Absolutely. Live in godliness. Let people see your faith is real. And again, we need God's Spirit to keep us on track. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, Peter said, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Absolutely. You know, we need to occupy until he comes. We need to stand strong in the Lord. Because, you know, if we don't have any hope, when people look at us, how are we going to help them? But I'll tell you what, if you have hope in your hearts, joy in your life, no matter what's going on, I'm not saying we're stoic people, just ignore bad things, but we've got that hope. And people are going to wonder, why are you at peace with all this that's going on? And say, it's because of Jesus. And let me tell you, he's already told us these things were going to happen. And that's why I have comfort and hope. Tozer reminds us, he says, let us be alert to the season in which we are living. It is the season of the blessed hope, calling for us to cut our ties with the world. Excuse me, let me get there. There we go. Cut our ties with the world and build ourselves on this one who will soon appear. He is our hope. A blessed hope enabling us to rise above our times and fix our gaze upon him. That is a great quote from Tozer. Cut our ties with this world. Build our lives upon the one who's going to soon appear. Because everything else is going to go away. Not Jesus. And I just, again, pray that you're excited what you see happening in this world. It's disturbing. I'm not saying it's not disturbing. But look at how it's fulfilling what the Bible has told us is going to happen. We need to walk accordingly. We need to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. If you take anything away from our study this evening, take this with you. May we shine for Jesus in this dark world. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. This world's going to get even darker. Can you imagine what happens when the Christians are removed? Wow. And then what happens when you got 144,000 Jews getting saved? You got the two witnesses here. You got other people now coming to the faith. Millions upon millions. This may be the biggest revival of the faith in all of history during the tribulation period. It's always darkest before the dawn. Those saints are going to have trouble in this world. Think about our brothers and sisters right now who are experiencing devastating circumstances because of their faith. And I think it's going to come here. You know, we've already heard about Canada and what some parts of the Bible they're not to be teaching on because it's hateful, homosexuality, gay lifestyle, and all that. And that's going to come here. What are you going to do? We got to be careful that we don't become antagonistic. I look at Daniel. Remember Daniel when the Medo-Persian Empire destroyed the Babylonian Empire? Daniel was part of the Medo-Persian Empire. He was put into that. And he kept just doing the things that he did. And what happened? They made a decree. The king made a decree. Hey, everyone, for 30 days, you can only worship me. No one else. And the king loved Daniel. He was tricked by his men to making a decree like that. And it says that Daniel did what he always did, pray three times a day. He didn't go, hey, I'm in your face, buddy. I'm going to get down and pray right now. He just did what he always did, and they knew it, and they were watching, and they reported to the king what he did. Hey, let's not be antagonistic. Let's love them, not compromise our faith, but shine brightly in these days. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word because it does give us comfort, knowing that you've already warned us of all these things that are coming to pass. And Lord, we just want to live for you. We want to shine brightly for you in these days. no matter what may come our way, no matter how difficult it may get, Lord, you will empower us to live accordingly, and we thank you for that. May we surrender totally to you. And Lord, we look forward to this coming year, what you're going to do in us and through us. How exciting it is, Lord. And we look forward to being used by you to bring people into the kingdom of God, to bring glory and honor to you. Help us to shine brightly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.